traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horsemen. It is great here in sunny South Florida. The weather's good. Horses are doing good. All of our family and friends are doing good. We're staying healthy, which is the main thing. We're following protocol. And speaking of protocol, wanted to let everybody know that at all the horse shows and horse racing, that everything's going good. The protocol's being followed. Everybody seems to be happy with it. The virus seems to be at a standstill or maybe going down a little bit. So we're kind of excited about that. It's given us a whole the remainder of the 2020 equestrian season. So I'm excited about that, too. We're here at Sunshine Meadows and Delray Equestrian and Palm Beach Downs, and we were just flooded with calls today on people getting ready to come back, letting us know when they're coming back, getting ready to order all their hay and their feed and their shavings and, what have you. That's a positive step forward. We've been looking at a lot of the horse shows across the country. They're doing very well. Out west, they had three horse rodeos that were canceled. And they got together, the three different rodeo management teams got together and decided to combine them into one rodeo coming up here in a few weeks, which was good. The thoroughbred horses, the meets are been opened up to a limited capacity at stands for the fans, which is a good thing. It's baby steps, as they say. Same with the harness racing. I know they reduced a few days in the harness racing. They've done that, but nevertheless, they're still going to be racing. Getting into the winter mode. Hopefully the virus and the flu will go up this winter. And we can all get back to what's going on. Today, one of the things we're going to start out with on flying turns, it's kind of a mix between flying turns and at the wire because of this article that we have here. We know these gentlemen fairly well. They've been a part of our programs down here in the wintertime. We have Hall of Famer Jimmy Tactor is going to be converting over or transferring over to the thoroughbred industry. Jimmy's done about everything you could do in the standardbred industry. It's just a phenomenal man. People set their standards by him. Another gentleman, his family's been in this business, the harness business, forever, is Philip Antonacci, and he's part of the Antonacci family that has Lindy Farms, which is a legendary farm in itself. So the moral of this story is can they convert over to standardbreds to thoroughbreds? I think given the talent of these two, the training that they've had, I think it's going to work out very well, for them. Jimmy Tactor is going to actually be Philip Antonacci's assistant. They operate Lindy Farms. And over the years, the things that they've done in the standardbred industry is just unbelievable. And one of the things that I think is going to happen is, given the experience that these gentlemen have in the standardbred industry, they're going to transfer that over to the thoroughbred industry. And I think you're probably looking at some pretty big stake winners and, some Derby entrants and Triple Crown entrants from this farm. I tell you, all the right things are there. Philip Antonacci, he secured 15 stalls at Payson Park and plans on running first horses at Gulfstream at this meet. His horses will run under the name and under his name, and they will be handled many of the day-to-day chores, including administrative duties and general barn management. Mr. Tactor is going to play a major role at this point. He's going to be a co-trainer, and he'll be right there to be the second set of eyes, you know, for him. And I tell you, you know, you're looking at some things here that are going to transcend into the thoroughbred world that a lot of thoroughbred people are going to watch them closely because of, you know, the different methods that they have. And, you know, if there was a certain way to train a thoroughbred, a standardbred, a show horse, you know, and be successful, let me tell you, they'd write a book about it and all of us would be winners, you know, that's for sure, and everything. So your goal is to get horses into the Triple Crown races and the Breeders' Cup. And it's going to be interesting to see because they've got the very very educated in the horse business. And I think that what's going to happen with the band of horses they put together and the people that they put together, you know, I think that they'll climb to the top pretty quick, you know, very, very quick. So, you know, we'll be looking forward to seeing Philip Antonacci and Jimmy Tactor in the winner's circle. And I think it'll be pretty soon. You know, I think that it's just knocking on the door and it's just waiting to happen and everything. And having said that, welcome Philip Antonacci and Jimmy Tactor to the thoroughbred world. Welcome to At the Wire. We'll have them on the program here in the future and, you know, getting straight from them where they're going and how they're doing it once they get, you know, up and running here. And speaking of getting up and running, the Keeneland sales, the yearling sales start. And they run through the 25th of September. In fact, if you go to IENTV.org, if you come in and take a look at our website, you can see the website sale. Online sales of the Keeneland sales live all through the 25th. It's a good meet to watch. Keeneland's really good. They've got a lot of information there. And you can just see exactly what these horses are going for. And then also on our website, we have America's Day at the Races. We have Del Mar, Churchill, and we have Belmont. That I'm on today. So, you know, that's a good look at. But what was interesting at the Keeneland sales here, I was kind of surprised to see how the, what they call the outs that they have here. They have a lot of people that have taken horses out and a lot of people left them in. So about down the middle, about half and half. And so on. I said, doggone it. I said, now's the time to be buying horses because the ones that keep their horses in are serious about selling their horses. And the ones that are taking them out, you might be able to make a private deal, you know, on the side, which is literally a toss of a coin. I've seen some horses be taken out of the sales and turn around and a private deal made and go on to win big and seen some make a private deal and one to not lend it. So, you know, that's the thing about the Keeneland sales every week. So we're looking at September 16th yesterday is when they brought the sale opening to 10 a.m. So the 16th through the 25th, the sales will start every morning at 10 a.m. And like I said, you can go to our website. You can watch it live until the end of it. You know, the September sales, it gives you a chance to turn your money over fairly quick. Here we are in the middle of September. You're getting a yearling. You get that yearling here in September, and then send him through the process of training and breaking, you know, what have you. You're going to find that you can make a lot of money real quick. The two-year-old and training sales come up in March, and that's where you get fit and ready to breeze 3/8 of a mile. And you know, a lot of big-time horses have come out of the two-year-old and training sale. They have them in Maryland, they have them in New York, they have them in Kentucky, California. You know, so, and if you go to the sales and take a good look at them, make a selection, get him on the right program, you know, you could double, triple your money between now and March. And that's really hard to do in most businesses, you know, to triple your money, you know, real quick, or, you know, you could lose all of it, you know, one of those things. So that's one thing that I was excited about, was the sale. That they have. There will be 14 horses were sold for 7 figures in the first day, day of the sales. That's amazing, you know, to see something like that. None of them broke the $1 million mark on Wednesday. And the day is talking with the son of Uncle Mo. He purchased by Mayberry Farm for $950,000. You know, which is a pretty good mark for a yearling. You know, that was the best one on opening day. So you should start off pretty good. Keeneland reported 185 yearlings grossed $40,861,000, an average price of $220,870. The median was $180,000. So, you know, that's good for a yearling. You know, you're not going to get rich real quick on it, but, you know, nevertheless, it was still good. So that's the yearling market is strong this year. It's headed in the right direction, and that's a good indicator of what the racing, you know, will be here over the next 6 to 8 months, you know, when you start to look at it. 834 horses were cataloged through the first three sessions at Keeneland. They sold 411 horses on $129,081,000. You know, you're talking some big, big dollars, you know, there. But all in all, I think if you go to the website, you watch the sales, you can kind of see, you know, what the last call is all about. We want to bring to you the live action of people buying horses. And you can go online, you can get a catalog, you can see what horses are available in the bloodlines. And you don't have to know a lot, you know, about the horses. It's very, very simple that you just go and get a catalog, take a look. And what's always fun, and especially if you're new to the game, you can sit there and kind of, you know, guess what they're going to sell for. That's always fun to do. You can get the family and the kids there to watch, you know, watch it live, and, you know, see, you know, have a pretend sale buying horses. It's so exciting when you get close. When I first started watching the sales years ago, 40 years ago, I had my book and back then, you didn't have the internet or the television. You had to go to the sales. So I got my book, and I had my khaki pants on, and had my button-down collared shirt and my boots. And I mean, I tell you what, I looked the part. People probably thought I was going to buy a lot of horses, but I didn't have a clue. And so what I did the night before is I took the catalog, and I marked in there what I thought these horses might sell for. And so when I got there to the sales, walking around, opened up my book, and you see my notes in there. And I really didn't know what I was taking notes on. You know, it was just guessing. And I was off on a lot of them. But there was three or four of the higher priced ones that I got close to. And so, boy, you talk about having a big head then. I thought I had owned the world, you know, that I could go out and I could, you know, pick horses. I thought I could go out and look at a horse and didn't know anything about confirmation, very little about the bloodlines or the trainers or the farms that they were raised at. But it was all part of the process. And that's what helped me out later on in my career in the horse business, was the fact that I went in and I learned from the ground up. And it all started at the sales, because then you learn about confirmation. Another thing that's very important is the bloodline, which in my book, I think the bloodline is good. It's a good start. But if you bred the best of the best, you should get the best, but you don't. Sometimes you get the rest. And, you know, that makes it very difficult. So it does, you know, the blood factor line does figure in there. But one of the things that I was taught by a gentleman named Warner Jones, he used to be CEO of Churchill Downs, and he owned Hermitage Farm. And Mr. Jones took me and tried to educate me. And, you know, he got me a good foundation. And he told me, he said, when you go to the sale, he said, it's very important you know who the breeder is. It's very important you know where the farm, you know, the horses foal at, because that's all starting the process of the road to success. And if you have a high-quality, you know, farm that's spot on, that they know what they're doing, they've got a great staff, and they've had a good path, you know, that really helps you in the decision of doing that. And then you want to look at the trainers, that where they go to break them at, if they're going back to train for another sale. You know, you just try to figure out as much as you can about the horse. But when it all said and done, Mr. Jones said, a horse is a horse. Every horse will have his day. And, you know, he could win the Derby and not win another horse race again. You know, or he could be one of those horses that would go out there every race, give you 150%, you know, and make money. And then some of them, you know, just aren't meant to run. You know, even though they bred to run, and they're thoroughbred, they're just not meant to run. And then you're looking at, you know, a secondary career. You're looking at show horses. You're looking at polo. You know, there's a lot that you can look at with them, you know, from that point on. But the yearling sale is the most exciting to me because of the fact of the potential, you know, the potential. And that's what in the horse business is the key to learn how to do, is sell the potential in the horse. Every day that goes by, you know more and more about that horse, good or bad. But when you go to the sales, when you go to the track, you go to look for owners, syndicate horses, it's the potential you're selling. And that is an awful, awful tough area to get into, because potential in one man's eye could be failure in another's, you know, that type of thing. And so that's why I like going to the yearling sales. And you can sit there and you can really find out how the industry is going to go by watching who's buying what, when, and how much they're paying for. And then, you know, you can make notes and you follow them on into the two-year-old training sales. And but, you know, that's what I like about the sales. Go to the sales and take a look at them and see what they have going on there. It's a good watch, you know, to spend an afternoon. And we also have the sales calendar, you know, that's available there. So go take a look at it, see what it says. Now, one of the next thing that we're going on to, it's going to be all thoroughbreds pretty much, you know, today on here. We have America's Day at the Races. which is a great thing that the Madison Square Garden networks and Fox Sports have got together to do. We have it live today on our website, and we partnered up with them to help get distribution of our business. And again, our website primarily is being developed for distribution. We need to get distribution of all equestrian breeds, all equestrian events from all over the world out to the average person, to the people that have not been into the business. You come to watch them, and you can see them tacking them up in the paddock like we're watching now, getting them ready for the first race at Churchill, you know, that thing. But you don't have a product if you don't have distribution. And all, not only IEN TV, but Fox, NBC, ESPN, you know, TVG, Twin Spires, it's all about distribution. That's how you grow your business, getting the distribution out for the general public to see. And the great thing is you can set at home, and you can have your own concession stand. You can have your own seating arrangement. You can have anything you want. Don't have to worry about paying for parking. Don't have to worry about for a program, because you can get that all on our website. And, you know, you can really enjoy yourself. And then hopefully, you know, you'll like it enough to where you'll want to go out to your local racetrack or horse show, you know, to see what's going on. And but America's Day at the Races is something that, you know, that they started out with at one track. And, you know, that was at NIRA. NIRA produced it, and then they did the partnership with Fox. And so that really worked out really good. It starts every day at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. It's a great show. Good announcers, very educational, very informative. You know, that's what we really like about it. And so you'll see that the whole meet at Belmont Park for the fall. You know, you'll be able to see that. And also, I wish that we could have it on our radio podcast, but that's still a few weeks away. That you'll, whenever we come on our radio podcast, you'll be able to see the video from like Belmont, from Delmar, Churchill, King, you know, that group of tracks. And if you see a track you like to watch, just let us know and we can connect you to it and see what happens there. You know, Belmont's fall stakes purses are going to be cut during the COVID, which is a smart move. It's bad. It's not good for the horsemen, but yet it is, because they're taking away money now so they don't have to take away money from future, you know, from future racing next spring. And to shorten the meet a little bit, not going to really, you know, hurt us that bad, because they're not doing it. They have 38 stake races at Belmont. They're worth approximately $5.6 million, and it's going to take place over the next 27 days at the meet, on Thursday throughout Sunday. And so that makes it good for us, because we're on Thursday. They start on Thursday. The last meet, that last year's meet at this time, they had 45 stake races for $11.5 million. And so now they've cut it back to 38 stake races for $5.6 million. So, you know, that's a pretty big jump, you know, down. But it's also going to help us next year in the spring. When spring rolls around and Belmont opens back up for us. So throughout the meet, you're going to have 22 graded stake races featuring seven grade ones. And the great part about it is seven of those races are winning your end for the Breeders' Cup. So you win one of those seven races, and that qualifies you automatically for the Breeders' Cup November 6th and 7th at Keeneland. And reduction in their values were significant. Four graded stake races, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, a grade one turf, Champagne Stakes, the Flower Bowl Stakes, and the Hill Prince Stakes have dropped down to $250,000. So, you know, that's a lot of money coming down, but nevertheless, you know, at least it's belonging, you know, and helping us for spring next year. That's it in Belmont. So, and that's, they're on today on America's Day at the races. I was sitting here just going over all the different things that we have to look at. And I started looking at the races. And I said, my goodness. I said, you know, starting September 18th, they have the Miners March Stakes. One race I do like is on September 19th, the Belmont Oaks. That's for 3-year-old fillies. It's a mile and a quarter on a turf. And you don't get to see a lot of turf races for fillies, you know, like this. So that was a grade one. That's on September 19th, and then that's a $250,000 purse, mile and a quarter on the turf. So that's a very, very good race. Tune into that, folks. Then as we go down through here, we look at October 3rd, we have the Belmont Derby. It's $250,000 for 3-year-olds, and it's a mile and a quarter on the turf. Which, again, you don't get to see a lot of big races like that for 3-year-olds, just 3-year-olds on the turf. You know, that would be on October 30th. And then a lot of the races that you'll see here are on the turf, because the turf seems to be last a little bit longer. It's got time to rest over the summer, and the people at Belmont really get it in good shape. They bring it back. The one race that I always look forward to is the Jockey Gold Cup. The Jockey Club Gold Cup, it'll be on October 10th, 3-year-olds and up, a mile and a quarter on the dirt. And you get a good variety of horses there. Usually you see horses come out of that if you go on straight to 3 weeks later to the Breeders' Cup. So that will be good. And then one of the other things that we do on how they get there, which is our thoroughbred show about the Kentucky Derby, usually I don't start watching the horse, the 2-year-olds that are prepping for the Derby this early. I really don't, because I think, you know, it's my luck of the draw, the weather, and there's a lot of things that make you think about it. And I'll tell you here in a few minutes just about why I think like that. A lot of people come in and they look at the Champagne Stakes, October 10th. It's a $250,000 grade one mile on the dirt at Belmont for 2-year-olds, which technically, if you do good there, then, you know, you start really thinking about getting on that road to the Kentucky Derby and taking that journey. So you got to take a good look at that. And then if you really want to test your horse, 3 weeks later, you have the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, that's something to take a look at for your horse. I'm telling you, I bypass this every year because I just don't see it happening, you know, this early for a 2-year-old. And because historically, out of the 2-year-old Breeders' Cup Juvenile, historically, the horses that wins that or, you know, runs in the top three have never gone on to the Derby and done very well. And it seems like it takes a lot out of them, and, you know, it's just not good. They're not good at them for them there. Then there's another race that I like. It's the Futurity Stakes. That comes, it's $100,000 on October 11th. It's for 2-year-olds, 6 furlongs on the turf. And I always like to see a horse go good and steady, strong competition, you know, at an early age like that, kind of tells you what you might not have. But still, again, it's kind of early. But what I like about it is it's on the turf. And the turf at Belmont can be kind to your horse. So, you know, and you not only get experience, you know, but then you got a chance to win a little bit of the post money. And so the rest of the meet, if you look at it and you go to the website, you can see it's just a phenomenal everyday stakes. You know, there's graded stakes in our form that you can really, you know, see what quality horse that you can see. You know, the one highlight, and a lot of people say I'm nuts about it, you don't see very many 7 furlong races, stake races. And November 1st, I love it because it's Thanksgiving, and you always see a fairly good horse come out of it. On November 1st, they have the $80,000 pumpkin pie stakes. It's for 3-year-olds now, it's 7 furlongs on the dirt. And I tell you, it's always a nice way to start off the holidays. I've made a few dollars off that race before, so, you know, it's good to go look at it, take a good look at it. And, you know, so I invite everybody to go watch that on America's Day at the races, all through the meet at Belmont. You'll see a lot of good horses that I'm running up there at Belmont. Anyway, it's good because I'll have Belmont, Churchill, Delaware Park on that American Day of Races today. You get three tracks and one website, and which makes it nice because you're not jumping all over the place and taking a look. You don't have to flip back and forth and, you know, hitting commercials. Most of these races are really commercial free, and you can take a good look at it. And it also they have closed caption for, you know, hearing impaired. So, you know, that really helps out, you know, a lot. But like I said, racing returns to Churchill Downs on Thursday, and they're moving right along. You know, they got the Derby out of the way. And I say out of the way because I think that's basically what it was. It was a struggle to get the Derby in. They did a very good job of it, you know, but without the fans, there was just something, you know, that was about it. It didn't seem to go very well. But Churchill does a great job. We're going to have a good fall meet here and be ready for the spring next year. And so they're looking at full cards every day. They still got a lot of good trainers that are still at Churchill. And so that's what I think is going to really be good. To, you know, go in and see it. For example, most of the television coverage plus Day at the Races, America's Day at the Races, is on Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, TVG, Twin Spires. So what we've done is we've joined up with YouTube to bring the races to you via our website. Now, granted, you can go to YouTube yourself. You can go to Fox Sports. You can go to all those. You know, but again, like I said, we're about distribution and letting people know where to go and where to watch. And the quality is good. You know, it's something that I think everybody will like. INTV.org. You know, so, but one of the things that we would like to let you know is that at most of the tracks that you go to, if you go and see the racing on TV, or, you know, if you're interested in it, if you decide to go to any of the tracks, a lot of them have what they call breakfast at the Downs, you know, like in Churchill. You can go in, you can see the horses train, get their baths, they cool them out, and then put them back to their stalls. And what's nice about that is you can go watch a train, you can get breakfast, and then you get to go to the races that afternoon. So it makes for a very, very good day. You need to go to the museum and see what all happened over the last 140 some odd years at Churchill. And it's just kind of an enjoyable day for everybody to go to. And like I said, more importantly, watch and get out and see some horses run. We'll get a picture of the Derby horse and see who's doing what. There at Churchill, and that's good. Well, I tell you what, you're going to call me Rambler Scott. Okay. Can't get a friend nowhere. But no, I'm just kidding. Here, we also, let me set this up for you. Back in the day, we didn't have racing every day like we do now. We had a 30-day fall meet at Keeneland, had a 30-day spring meet at Keeneland, had a 30-day fall meet at Churchill, 30-day meet in the spring at Churchill. And then we had Del Mar had their 30-day meets. And so it was kind of limited on the availability of Washington horse racing. So, if you wanted to see racing in Kentucky in the fall, it was pretty good because you had Churchill and Keeneland real close to each other, you're looking at an October and November meet. So, that helped. But at Del Mar, you're kind of out there, but Del Mar is a great meet. That's where the surf meets the turf. Del Mar was started, basically by Hollywood, movie moguls and actors. And it's a great meet. There's always something going on there that you really like, to see. And then we would have the Chicago meet at Arlington Park in the summertime through July, where you'd end up with the Arlington Million race. And it was a great week of racing there in Chicago. And it was really exciting to spend a little time in Chicago and a lot of things, to do and see there. And so... that was, a limited meet also. And then you come back and, you have Saratoga, which comes up, in the late summer, in August. You get that late summer derby, as they call it, with the Travers. And so that was another limited meet that they had, throughout the area. Then you got Delaware Park. Delaware Park is a great meet to go to. A lot of things in that area, that's more than just racing. Delaware Park is good. You see a lot of the top trainers and horses come in there. It's a beautiful area to go to. And so I like that. And then, of course, we've got Pimlico, which is home of the Preakness. And in Pimlico, that's limited meet in the spring, but it's a great meet. Because you see a lot of the old-time trainers that have done that for years there. They come out just for that meet. And that's what I like about the meet in Pimlico is, you got some trainers that aren't doing it full-time and part-time type of thing. And just stay active in the business. And you go out there and you can see some trainers that are just, blow your mind. Like you wonder what happened to them, and they pop up there. And so, that's one of the things that I do like about all the different meets that we have. We really haven't touched on this very much, but if for some reason you would like to go to one of the tracks, call us or email us here at INCB. It's 561-466-1276. So that would, we can direct you in the right direction. We can help you with motel reservations, hotel reservations, things that there are to do there. There's all kinds of things that you can do at these events. And I tell you, you don't have to spend a week there. Sometimes it's good to spend a weekend there. For example, like the Chicago meet, it's good to go to Arlington Park There's a lot of malls and good restaurants around there at Arlington Park. And you can go in on Friday night, go to the races on Saturday, and then go home on Sunday. And you can literally do that in this at all the tracks. Usually Saturdays are the days that the tracks are really promoting the track. Have a lot of things that are going on there. A lot of the tracks will have, like the Churchill, which is really good to go to in the fall. They have the chili cook-off. And, oh, man, they go in, and the first time I went to it, I was getting into the horse business really big. And I go in, and I say, my goodness, this is the chili cook-off. And all I see are these little plastic cups. And the kind you get, like, you know, a dressing in for a salad. I said, good gosh almighty. I said, I'll starve to death if I, you know, come in here for that. But what I didn't know is they have in excess of 50 different restaurants and people that are cooking. And so you go in, and you can go up to each one of the booths, and you get a little cup of chili. I'll tell you what, I never ate so much in all my life. Time I went through there a couple of times, I said, I looked at it, and I, you know, that's 50 or 60 of those little cups that I was eating. And I said, oh, gee whiz, you know, what can you do there, you know, when you do that? But, you know, when you get into Maryland, like the Pimlico, you know, they have the crab cakes, and, you know, they have just a little bit of everything there. And again, that's what we're trying to do here. Is we're trying to offer the horsemen, you know, on our website, a tour of the world, a journey, you know, that you can go on and you can see, you know, visually in front of you. And if you like that, that connection that we've made for you, you know, then you can go into it into detail. You can go see, you know, what it's like, you know, inquire more information. And go for it, and it makes good. It's a good for family outings. You know, when you go, like for example, like when you get out to Penn National in Pennsylvania, you're right in the heart of Hershey Company, and you know, it's well, I tell you, the first thing you want to do when you get close is you start stopping and getting chocolate, start getting the candy. You know, they got a lot of amusement. Facilities there that you can go to, you know, if that's at Penn National. And so I tell you, but prepare to go on a diet after you go to Penn National. You'll gain a lot of weight, you know, that type of thing. And then what I like is, and why I love South Florida, is we have Tampa Bay Downs, which is just on the other side of the state of us, and then we have Gulfstream Park. Which is just south of us here, about 30, 40 minutes. And so, in a Gulfstream, there's a lot to do because you have the ocean. Here it's in Hollandale Beach, Florida, Adventure, Florida. And the mall and the restaurants that they have at Gulfstream is just out of this world. They have just about any kind of food that you could want. Many different countries, and it's original, it's real. You know, it's not a corporate, you know, type restaurant, it's the real deal. And so that's what I like about, you know, Gulfstream. It's right there on, you know, a few blocks off the ocean, easy to get to, and a lot of, you know, things to do there. But the little shopping mall that they have at Gulfstream is really nice. You know, you go in there and you spend all your wagering money right there, just in that little mall, souvenirs, you know, to do that. And then south of Gulfstream, we have Hialeah Racetrack. Hialeah Racetrack has been converted over for quarter horses. They have a very limited meet. But what I like about Hialeah is just the facility itself. They have a bird sanctuary there. They have the Flight of the Flamingos, which they play that song every day at the 7th or 8th. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't hurt the flamingos, but they got a guy that goes out into the lake area, and he stirs flamingos up, and they play the Flight of the Flamingo at 7:30. And the flamingos actually fly around the track several times, and then they come back and they land in the lake, because that's where the home's at, and they're used to, you know, making those flights like that. It's bred into them for years they've done that. And then they film some of the Godfather there at Hialeah. So, you know, it's interesting to go see the verandas and the restaurants and everything that they have, you know, available for that. Hialeah is good for it, and the community's good in Hialeah. A lot of good restaurants, you know, there at Hialeah. And if you call Hialeah or any of the racetracks that you'd like to go to, they can direct you into the right direction of, you know, maps and things that you might need to look at before you go, to give you an idea of how it really is. Or there's always the internet. You know, the internet can take you with virtual tours of most of these places, you know, that they have there. And so, you know, that's another good one, you know, to go to. The one that I think that a lot of people really would like is Hot Springs, Arkansas, when you go down to Oaklawn Racetrack. Oaklawn Racetrack's a beautiful country. There's a lot around there. And the barbecue at the local restaurants are doing is out of this world. They have a good meat. They also have a casino there. You know, there's a lot to do in that area. You like to get out in the country and just go enjoy yourself and relax. And Hot Springs and Oakland is one of those places that as soon as you get close to the facilities, you start to relax. It's just that feeling of relaxation. I guess because of the hot springs, you know, bubbling up everywhere. You know, they can do that at all. But, you know, the whole point of this whole show was trying to get people to get interested in the horse business. For example, our show Checker, if you go to it 24/7, you can see polo from around the world. And the polo matches are live usually Wednesday through Sunday. And, you know, you'd be surprised how many towns in this country have polo facilities. I did not know until I went to the Polo Hall of Fame in Lake Worth, Florida, and I saw where they had polo matches. They even had a polo arena in Philadelphia, and it was for indoor polo. They didn't have the access to, you know, a huge polo field like you normally would have. So this polo enthusiast, he gets in a warehouse in Philadelphia, and they made a polo arena in there the same size of indoor polo. And one of the best polo players in the world started there many years ago. And so whenever you go to these facilities and you see what they're doing, it just really gives you the opportunity to do so. And it's something different. Most people don't get out to the equestrian, you know, venues. It's something they might see in the paper or, you know, see on online or, you know, something like that. But, you know, there's equestrian facilities in every town just about in this country. It's a part of our culture here for a lot of people that we have. I tell you, another place that I really like is Kentucky Horse Barn. When you get to the Kentucky Horse Barn, they've got all kinds of demonstrations and shows and things. They have a farrier, or what they call a blacksmith demonstration, where you can actually see a blacksmith shoeing horses up close. They have all kinds of events at the Kentucky Horse Barn. They've got camping facilities that are just unbelievable. They had primitive camping all the way up to, you know, the full 9 yards camp. You know, that's good. And then the other thing, too, what I like about the horse barn and which, you know, why I suggest that you really go to them, is they have the headquarters for just about all the horse associations in the United States. For example, they'll have the USEF, the United States Equestrian Federation. They'll have that there. You know, you can go in and you can talk with them, and they're very good there. They have all kinds of information where the horse show's at, from the smallest horse show, backyard horse show, to the Olympics. They cover it all. You know, and you have, you know, you have the Side Federation, and it's also, they're all in a little mall complex type of thing there. The pony associations, you name it, they have it. You know, and it's right close to Keeneland, and it's 90 miles away from Churchill. So, you know, if you plan a weekend to go into Kentucky, you know, take the trip up to Churchill Downs, see what they have, you know, see all the Derby winners, you know, all everything Derby. And then 90 miles back to Lexington, you know, you're at the Kentucky Horse Park. And at the Kentucky Horse Park, like I said, they have all the different organizations. They have horse shows. They have horse demonstrations. They got the camping, the RV park. This is the best I've ever been in. And I really like you. You know, so you have that. And then, again, you have the Red Mile Harness Track. And it's one of the most historical and greatest tracks in the world that you have there. You know, it's just, oh, good Lord. That's a three-day weekend when you go to Kentucky. You know, that's a good weekend, you know, there. And then, you know, again, like I said, all the different places that you can go to that have all these different facilities. I tell you another one, it's Parker, Colorado. And they have a beautiful horse facility there. Horse shows, you know, almost 8 months out of the year that they have. So then, you know, that's really good. And then, you know, when you go to Texas, you have the American Quarter Horse Association there, which is a good tour to go to. So, you know, I just can't emphasize enough about the horse industry. Come and visit us out here at Sunshine Mouse. You know, we've got a great little facility here. All our people are starting to come back. They'll start releasing the, you know, the restrictions and the protocols for, you know, attending events like that. But we've got a nice facility here. You know, and I like it. And oh, there's another spot I forgot to tell you about. Can you get up around New Albany, Ohio, and through that area? And oh, I'm telling you, the horse shows every weekend in Ohio are just unbelievable. And they have the largest concentration